Well, it's a pleasure to be back and share with you the words of God. It's almost a year now. Now, today we celebrate the Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit poured upon the early church and more or less stunned the whole world with His mighty power. The pastoral team has chosen the passage from 1 John chapter 2 for this occasion. Now, I want to ask you, what has "do not love the world" to do with the Pentecost? Now, John mentioned three examples as loving the world, namely desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. These are rather abstract terms, right? And difficult to understand. Now, if Uncle Bob drives a Kia sedan to work, who cares? What if Elder Chen or Pastor Sam drives a red two-door Ferrari to church? Will you criticize me for loving the world? Is owning a Gucci bag or a pair of Jimmy shoes sin or sinful? Now, sometimes we wish the Bible is more practical. Please give us some down-to-earth guidelines, like a rating system, and make life simple for us. The world loves to do that. It's called legislation. Possessing 1 gram of cocaine is legal. Possessing 2 grams, you go to jail. Possessing 10 grams, you probably would go to the hospital. John refused to do so. In chapter 2, he was actually addressing the fathers, the young men, and the children. That is, he was addressing every generation. But this is not correct. How come? Oh, okay. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need. You have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true, and it's no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. What is John trying to tell us? Every true believer has received the anointing of the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And this Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. That's what abides in you means, making it a living and dynamic relationship with God. John is very adamant that we do not need a set of do's and don'ts. Life is too complicated for that. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to handle all situations in life. All situations in life. That's what everything means. Now, the operation manual to utilize the Holy Spirit has only three simple words. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Do you really believe that practicing our Christian faith is really so simple? Are we being naive or simply out of date? Doesn't Paul know we have Google today? Now, today I would like to use Samson as an example to illustrate John's passage. Sometimes it is easier to understand spiritual truth through the live examples rather than talking about theology. I don't want to do that. Now, in the Old Testament, the only time when the Spirit manifested His power in Pentecost actually is recorded in today's passage about Samson. Do you know that? Well, if you read chapter 15, verse 1 of Judges, you'll learn that the incident in Nehi actually started at the time of the wheat harvest. Now, Samson was mad because his newly wedded wife was given to one of his wedding guests, which is very unusual. So he burned the stack grain of the Philistines in revenge. The Philistines raided Judah and demanded them to hand over Samson in Nehi. Now, know that at that time, the Philistines were much stronger economically, military power, all those, much stronger than the Israelites, and they had been oppressing the Israelites for many years. Now, it was in Nehi that the Spirit of God poured upon Samson. What followed was read by Samuel this morning. The time was around the Festival of Weeks, W-E-E-K-S, or the Festival of Wheat, W-H-E-A-T, which actually is the Festival of Pentecost, the second of the three great harvest festivals. Now, the Pentecost centers on the work of the Holy Spirit rather than on the date. Now, it must be noted that the task of the Holy Spirit did not stop after the Pentecost. Rather, it signaled the beginning of his works. Now, after the Lehi incident, Samson began to rule as God's judge for 20 years. And of course, after the Pentecost events in Acts, the New Testament church formally began, and the Holy Spirit continued to work in the church till today. And it is the same for Christians. The same Holy Spirit enters into our hearts as soon as we accept Christ as our personal Savior. And in Romans 8:16, Paul explains, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What does it mean? In other words, we, you and me, have been endowed with a power, not of our own, but much greater than our own, from above. Now, this is important because we then can share with Paul's idea that once the Holy Spirit enters into our heart, the Holy Spirit will begin a good work in your life and will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, no one portrayed this truth more dramatically than the life of Samson. My title for today's sermon is A Personal Pentecost, but it is also Your Pentecost. Now, there are two names I hope you would not forget after today's sermon. The names of two places. One is Ramah Lehi. Next time when you go for ramen, remember Ramah Lehi. Now, both are named, and the other is En-Hakkari. Now, both are names of places whose original names have been changed. Now, in the Old Testament, when God changed the name of a place, it often carried a spiritual meaning. When Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River, before they entered the Promised Land, God did a very unusual thing. He asked Joshua to circumcise all the Israelite males and change the name of the location to Gilgal. Can you imagine what this means? It is not small deal, it's a big deal. Because in those days, there was no local anesthetics. Imagine, you ask Emil to do circumcision for you today without anesthetics? God explained to the Israelites, today I have rolled away the reproach. Another translation is shame of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal till today. Okay. God has given circumcision of the flesh, of the body, a new spiritual meaning. Now, in the Bible, the flesh represents the old self governed by its lust of the flesh and pride of the world. Do you know that when we want to confront our old self, it could be a very painful experience. But on the other hand, if you want to enter into the promised land, if you want God's blessing, you need this kind of experience. Now, Samson killed about 1,000 Philistines with the jawbones of the donkey. The non-believers consider this far-fetched. Even an iron sword would not stand the brutal force of such a killing, 1,000 men. Even some modern Bible scholar tried to reinterpret this event by playing with the word thousand, because it was rarely used in the Bible to denote a family. How big can a family be? At the most, maybe a few dozen people, a strong man like even Ip Man can do it, right? Why did God ask Gideon to select only 300 men out of thousands of soldiers to defeat the Midianites? Hear God's own explanation. You have too many. The people with you are too many for me to give the Midians into their hands. Why? Because you can boast about it. It is my own hands that has saved me. That's why. Ramah Nihai means jawbone hill. God wants his people to remember the miracle in Nihai is not the man, is not the work of man. Definitely not the because of the power of Samson. It is the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that makes the impossible possible. It defies human understanding because it is the deed of God. Folks, as we grow older, we will experience different aspects of life. For sure, I guarantee you, we tend to become more realistic and sometimes too realistic. You will encounter broken relationships, failures in career, creeping old age, loss of health, death of loved one, and finally, our own demise. Whatever will come, will come. Sometimes we allow reality to cloud our eyes of faith. And we sometimes wonder, how are we different from non-Christians? Now, let us look at the other name, En-Hakkore, which means spring of one calling. After Samson destroyed the Philistines, he was very thirsty and he cried to God, help me, must I now die of thirst? Now notice that God listened to the cry of a man like Samson and answered him with a miracle. How incredible! Not without a reason. On the cross, one of the last words uttered by our Lord was, I thirst. John specifically pointed out in John 19:28, to fulfill, this is to fulfill the scripture. When Christ cried out, I thirst, John said he was to fulfill the scripture. What does it mean? John reminded the readers that Jesus, the Son of God, became man, fully human in every way. In his resume as man, his unusual experience includes suffering when tempted, and he tasted death for everyone. So, brothers and sisters, remember, sorrow, temptations, and even death is not foreign to our Savior. And that's why the author of Hebrews said, because of this, he can deal gently with the ignorant, like me, and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. A year and a half ago, out of the blue, I collapsed at home on several occasions. And they rushed me to the emergency department. And after seeing practically a more than a dozen doctors and specialists and undergoing all kinds of endoscopies and scans and blood tests, I was found to have a very rare kind of cancer with three kinds of cells. And the oncologist told me he never had experience with such a tumor. And I looked through the literature, medical literature, there was not even a case report. And you know what? During chemotherapy, the tumor spread to the brain. And I was told, Bob, bad news. It is already stage 4B. And being a doctor myself, he was very honest with me. He said, your prognosis was guarded, which means your days will be numbered in weeks and months, but not likely years. Of course, you want something to be done, eh? When you have something in the brain, they refuse to do it. I was told the best approach would be to leave it alone. They say quality of life is better than quantity. If we do surgery, if you give you radiation, you may end up paralyzed on one side, or you may become a zombie. Now, it was during those days when I was weak physically and spiritually that I came to appreciate what Emmanuel, God be with you, really means. What do you think of God be with you, Emmanuel? It means the Holy Spirit abides in your heart and my heart. This is not just a promise. This is our reality, your reality and my reality. And because of this, I experience what Paul has witnessed in Ephesians 3:16, that the Holy Spirit can strengthen me, strengthen with the power through His Spirit in my inner being. I cannot describe to you the peace and assurance that the Holy Spirit cultivates in my heart. I'm very honest with you. I never lost one single night of sleep because of this. The Holy Spirit works in different ways. But I was able to comfort those who had cancer or in distress during those days with similar problems. Not only that, I was given a lot of opportunity to witness to my non-believing friends, including doctors, my bankers, and I could see the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I want to tell you, nothing, not even cancer, can dictate your life or my life because of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we are talking about this morning. And this morning, when I stand in front of you, I want to testify that the Holy Spirit has and will always listen to our cry of distress. I first. He will listen. The power of the Pentecost, the Spirit will continue to make the impossible possible in your life. Now, in the past few weeks, I saw multiple specialists again for follow-up. The lesion in the brain disappeared on its own. None of the scans show any residual tumor. The oncologist and the neurologist could not explain to me what happened. Of course, we know what happened. It was the grace of God. It was the power of prayer. It was our reality. The Holy Spirit works in different ways in different persons. But I know, no matter how many more months or years I have to live, it's not that important. What is important is to experience the presence of Christ in our lives. Because He alone makes all the difference. The operation, abide in Him, really works as long as you abide in Him and He abides in you. Now, the editor of the book of Judges briefly sums up the life of Samson in three subsequent verses, very brief. Okay. In verse 16, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went in to her. Now, this is obvious. Lust of the eyes and lust of the body. He was happy with what he saw. In verse 3, Samson lay till midnight. Then he arose and took hold of the door of the gate of the city and the poles and pulled them down, bar and all. You know what happened? He put them on his shoulders. And the guy carried all this junk to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. He walked close to 40 miles with the junk at his back from Gaza. This is pride of life. Samson did all this to boast of his own strength before the Israelites and before the Philistines. He wanted to leave a legacy for himself as a judge of the Israelites. Now, here comes the most dramatic verse. Then he was betrayed by Delilah, and he told her the secret of his power, and the writer wrote in verse 21. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he drowned at the mill in the prison. Now, what does the editor want to tell the readers? It is one aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit we don't want to hear. We just don't want to hear it. What is it? Discipline. The Holy Spirit will discipline. After leaving the wilderness, okay, and planning to enter into the promised land, God clearly spelled out his instruction to his chosen people. Know in your heart, okay? Know in your heart. That means, make sure you understand, you meditate on this. As a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God will discipline you. Discipline. This is also biblical truth. The Holy Spirit will discipline if we do not deal with our sins. Because of his love as a father, he wants us to face our mistakes and stand up from where we fall. Samson enjoyed the lust of the eye and the flesh in the house of the prostitute. God let him grind grain in the mill in prison. He wanted to show off his power in Hebron. The Philistines humiliated him, forcing this blind man to play tricks, to perform tricks for entertainment in the temple of Dagon. Now, Samson's redemption came, you know what? After he learned his lesson in a hard way. He finally learned his lesson, although it was in the hard way. Notice how he addressed God in his last prayer. Oh Lord Adonai, God Yahweh or Jehovah, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God Elohim, that I may be avenged on the Philistine for my two eyes. Now, notice Samson used the plural form to address God. Adonai, the single one is Adon. Elohim, the single word is El, and Yahweh is double. Now, what does this mean? Okay. Because in Hebrew cultures, the use of what we call intensive plural has special meaning.
Now, Moses was the first one to use this format, the same format to address God. After the hard lesson, Samson finally came to the same conclusion. In Deuteronomy 10:17, okay, we know what it means. For the Lord Yahweh, our God Elohim, is God of gods, Adon, and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and take no bribe. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Samson finally realized that his own might is nothing, really nothing, before the mighty and awesome God of gods and Lord of lords. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we think we are doing great things for God. Always remember, our effort cannot be compared with the work of the Holy Spirit. Samson became very humble when he addressed God as Adonai. Why? Because in Hebrew culture, when a person approached God and felt unworthy even to pronounce his name, he would use a substitute word, Adon, to address God. And humility is the exact opposite of the pride of life. The story of Samson is the story of humanity. Actually, to be honest with you, it is your story and my story. Who can boast that he or she does not love the world? Who can boast he or she has no sins of the lust of the flesh? The Pentecost confirms the grace of God as well as the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, as we ponder on the day of the Pentecost, I think we should keep on reminding me that this is not old-fashioned or out-of-date theology. It makes our life very different if we know that the Holy Spirit will continue to work in our life. Now, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, though we are faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. We come to you this morning acknowledging our weakness and our weaknesses. Help us to experience the guidance of the Spirit in our life, that we may find faith in you really relevant and real. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.